This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, sports fans. This is USA Today Sports on Friday, February 9th, read by Jim Gronfeld. First front page article is the Super Bowl. Nepotism Bowl. Family heritage, patronage have tight grip on NFL. By Brett Schrotenbohr of USA Today. Shortly after Sunday's Super Bowl in Las Vegas, CBS television cameras likely will show a familiar post-game celebration with the winning team. For the ninth time in 19 years, the Lombardi Trophy will be presented to a white team owner who inherited that ownership from family. For the eighth time in 11 years, the trophy will be handed to a white head coach who is the father, son, or grandson of an NFL family coaching tree. Will it go to San Francisco 49ers CEO Jed York, nephew of previous longtime 49ers owner Eddie DeBartolo Jr.? Jed York hired 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan, son of former Super Bowl winning head coach Mike Shanahan. Or will the trophy go to Kansas City Chiefs owner Clark Hunt, son of team founder Lamar Hunt and heir to the Hunt family oil fortune? Clark Hunt hired Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, whose sons have worked on his coaching staff in recent years. The family factions face off at Allegiant Stadium, serving as another reminder of how nepotism and family birthrights are still heavily ingrained in the NFL. Where 16 of the league's 32 owners inherited their teams from family, compared to only 6 of 30 in the NBA, according to USA Today Sports Research. What does that matter? This is the Super Bowl, the ultimate contest in a merit-based playoff system. One of the reasons that these statistics may bother some people is that sports is supposed to be a meritocracy, said David Granardo, a law professor and sports law expert at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota. The best players play on a team, and the team that plays the best wins. Meritocracy, however, applies to players, not ownership or coaching. Both Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid also coached against each other in the Super Bowl in 2020 and are considered among the brightest coaching minds in the NFL. Regardless of how they traded on their family names to give or get coaching jobs. But now it comes against the shifting cultural backdrop in which the term Nepo baby is used to describe children who follow in the footsteps of their celebrity parents. And while a lawsuit filed in 2022 remains active against the NFL over its alleged pattern of discrimination against hiring black coaches. In the case of Shanahan, 44, does this Super Bowl showcase him as the poster boy for nepotism in the NFL? Or does it validate family pedigree as just another valued trait in a league that is rife with it, including for coaches who aren't white like him? Succession in the NFL. Privilege by birthright is an old square of tension in America between capitalistic property rights and the ideal of equal opportunity for all. In 1776, the American Declaration of Independence said, "All men are created equal," and railed against being subject to a king who had inherited his throne in England. Then came the Civil War over slavery. More recently, pop culture has chewed on the issue, including some entertainers who said they didn't think it was right to let their children inherit wealth they didn't earn. In January, the hit HBO show Succession won an Emmy for its unflattering portrayal of unqualified offspring vying to inherit control of their father's global business empire. In business and sports, all this comes amid an ongoing push for more equitable access to the levers of power for those who didn't acquire them by birth, family connections, or related racial influences. Only two NFL majority owners are not white, Buffalo's Kim Pakula and Jacksonville's Shahid Khan, neither of whom inherited their ownership. Likewise, team owners are the ones who hire the head coaches, but haven't often given those jobs to those who are black or not white like them. This year, there are 9 head coaches of color out of 32, a record for the NFL, though still a small fraction in a league where about 60% of the players in recent years have been black. At the start of the 2023 season, at least 90 of 752 on-field NFL coaches had a father, son, or brother who actively or previously coached in the NFL, according to USA Today Sports Research. Of those 90 coaches with connections, 76 or 84.4% were white. High-profile mom-and-pop shops. Yet the NFL is the most lucrative league in America, and this year just had its most watched round of playoffs ever, with an average of $38.5 million per postseason game. Was that because of, or in spite of, the fact that half of NFL teams are mom-and-pop shops passed down as heirlooms? It's far easier to understand why so many family owners want to keep the teams in the family and not sell them, because it's a prestigious license to print money through NFL revenue sharing, even for the worst teams. Every NFL franchise is worth at least $3.5 billion, according to Forbes. This showed after Denver Broncos owner Pat Bowlen died in 2019. A succession-like squabble among his heirs over control of the team ultimately led to the sale of it to the family heirs of the Walmart fortune for nearly $5 billion in 2022. The situation is a microcosm of society, said Granardo, who last year published a peer-reviewed paper on the lack of black owners in sports. That society includes a wealth disparity built over many generations, long divided along racial lines to the benefit of white property owners. And when a family owns such an asset as this, it's always been their right to do what they want with it, within the rules. They can even put family initials on players' uniforms, as the Chiefs do with patches on their jerseys that honor Clark's deceased father, Lamar Hunt, LH, and mother, Norma K. Hunt, NKH. They also can hire who they want, relatives they trust to run the team, coaches who look like them, or even the 37-year-old son of a prominent former NFL coach. The Shanahan Family Hiring Loop. Kyle Shanahan was hired by York at that age in 2017 and faced questions about this before his last Super Bowl against the Chiefs in 2020. Now back at the Super Bowl again, he arguably serves as an example of why family pedigree is valued for a reason, especially in a league whose ownership is defined by it. He learned at the knee of a father who won 2 Super Bowls with the Denver Broncos and said he has developed a chip on his shoulder to overcome the perception he got a free pass. His first coaching job in the NFL came with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, under head coach John Gruden as a quality control assistant. I would never say it's difficult, in terms of it gave me a real good life and gave me a lot of advantages, Kyle Shanahan said in January 2020. I didn't know John Gruden personally, so it helped that I think my dad knew him a little bit to give me an opportunity as a QC to start. But I think with anyone, when people know your last name, there's always human nature. Whether I made the basketball team in high school, it was always because of my dad, according to the guys who didn't make it. His advantages also helped form a family loop of sorts. After Tampa Bay, Shanahan got hired as an assistant coach at Houston in 2006 under head coach Gary Kubiak, who was the backup quarterback in Denver when Mike Shanahan was the offensive coordinator there in the 1980s. After Mike Shanahan became head coach of the Washington football team in 2010, he hired son Kyle as an offensive coordinator. Kyle then gave Gary Kubiak's son Clay his first NFL job in 2021 after Kyle was named head coach of the 49ers. Clay Kubiak and his brother Clint both served as assistants on Kyle's staff in San Francisco this season. After the Super Bowl, Clint Kubiak, 36 years old, is expected to move up the career ladder as the offensive coordinator with New Orleans Saints, Andy Reid and Sons. Similarly, Chiefs coach Andy Reid last year hired his youngest son, Spencer, as the team's assistant strength coach. Another one of his sons, Britt, was on his Chiefs staff as a linebackers coach until he got in a car crash in Kansas City that left a 5-year-old girl with brain injuries 2 days before the Super Bowl in 2021. In 2022, Britt Reid was sentenced to 3 years in prison for driving drunk and is currently incarcerated at the Maryville Treatment Center, according to state records. The Reeds, Shanahans, and Kubiaks all are white coaches hired by white owners. Last year, NFL Executive Vice President Troy Vincent even said, "Nepotism and cronyism must be eliminated," in a statement that was included in the league's annual Diversity and Inclusion Report, co-authored by researchers C. Keith Harrison and Scott Buckstein from the University of Central Florida. "Nepotism creates an overwhelming bias and inequity that has yet to be properly addressed throughout the league," Harrison and Buckstein recently said in a statement provided to USA Today Sports. Maybe this isn't a meritocracy. But there have been signs of change. A record 4 men of color were hired as head coaches in the recent hiring cycle, bringing the number of head coaches of color to a record 9, according to data collected for USA Today Sports NFL Coaches Project. More black coaches over time could mean more younger black coaches getting jobs, the way many white coaches have for decades. Chiefs wide receivers coach Connor Embry is the biracial son of former 49ers assistant and current Miami Dolphins assistant head coach John Embry, who is black. Niners assistant head coach Anthony Lynn, who is black, helped his son D'Antone break into the NFL and hired him on his staff when he was head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. The younger Lynn is now a head coaching prospect to watch as a defensive coordinator at the college level with Southern Cal. In the meantime, awareness of these issues has increased as society has become more racially diverse, said Dave Barry, a sports columnist at Southern Utah. "White males like me are now 29% of adults, when before we were a much bigger percentage," he said. "So 70% of society is looking at how jobs are being allocated and saying, okay, well, it seems like we've hired the same group of people over and over again. Maybe this isn't a meritocracy." Tom Shad contributed to this article. Kind of continuing on a theme, NFL-NBA, stream app was a surprise. Again, by Brent Schrotenbohr for USA Today. At least two major sports leagues, the NFL and NBA, were caught by surprise Tuesday when three major TV companies announced they were joining to put their sports content on a single streaming service to be launched this fall. People familiar with the situation told USA Today Sports on Wednesday. The people didn't want to be identified because of the sensitivity of the situation. The streaming app would be jointly owned by the three companies, ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery. It would include games from all major American pro sports leagues, including the NFL and NBA. These media companies bought the rights from those leagues to televise their games, but jointly putting those games on a streaming device raises possible tension with those leagues as business partners, sports business experts told USA Today Sports. What could be points of concern? For example, while the NFL has pursued streaming deals for its games, the league loves linear cable, satellite, and broadcast television because it delivers the big audiences that drive its revenue. "One of the secrets of our success is that we're really committed to broadcast television," NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said this week from the Super Bowl site in Las Vegas. "As I've said, 90% of our games are on broadcast and free over-the-air television. I think it's the reason you'll see over 200 million people watch this game here in the United States and on the broadest possible platform." By creating an app that makes its games available to watch on an online app, the three media companies could be accelerating the demise of linear TV and the revenue that comes from it, as more linear TV subscribers cut the cable cord and migrate to this new app. It's part of a vexing problem facing media companies as viewers ditch linear TV for streaming, where content can be more difficult to monetize. Other possible issues. A joint venture like this also raises questions about whether it would reduce competition in the bidding for the future streaming rights of these leagues while giving big market clout to this one new sports mega app. A person with one of the three companies told USA Today Sports that those companies will negotiate and acquire their sports rights separately. The person wasn't authorized to speak publicly and didn't want to be identified. I would imagine even if the leagues weren't caught off guard that they would be concerned about how the evolving media landscape changes the equation as to who has the leverage, said David Carter, sports business professor at the University of Southern California. What's included, and what did others say? The joint venture would be offered directly to consumers and will include ESPN Plus, plus access to 14 linear networks like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, SECN, ACCN, ESPN News, ABC, Fox, FS1, FS2, Big Ten Network, TNT, TBS, and True TV. What you get on these channels will be available on this app. That would include a lot of big games from the NFL, MLB, NBA, WNBA, NHL, NCAA basketball tournament games, and the PGA Tour, among others. The NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL declined to answer additional questions on the record and did not respond to questions about whether they know about it in advance or had concerns about it. The NFL issued a statement. We're aware of yesterday's announcement and are still gathering details to understand this proposed new streaming service. The NBA also issued a statement. While we look forward to learning more about this new venture, we're encouraged by the opportunity to make premier sports content more accessible to fans who are not subscribers to the traditional cable or satellite bundle. The NCAA didn't answer questions about it either, except to say, generally, the NCAA believes the new service provides more options for viewers to access our championships. Former CBS Sports President Neil Pilson raised this issue Tuesday in an interview with USA Today Sports. My first initial thought is if this is all okay with the NFL and the NBA and all of the premier sports that are currently on these channels, he said. Are they on board? Do they need to be consulted and included? I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure someone thought of it. The companies declined additional comment. Jeff Zilgit contributed to that article. And the last front page article. NBA trade deadline. Dejounte Murray stays put, Lakers appear to stay pat. By Jeff Zilgit, who writes for USA Today. The clock expired on the NBA's trade deadline at 3 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday. The day heated up with multiple deals, including one involving veteran and former All-Star Gordon Hayward. But overall, it was a tempered deadline. One name that was worth watching? Atlanta guard Dejounte Murray, who sat out Wednesday's game with lower back tightness. Several teams, including the Los Angeles Lakers and Milwaukee, had shown interest in Murray. As it turns out, the Hawks did not trade Murray. A person with direct knowledge of the situation told USA Today, under the condition of anonymity because he's not authorized to speak publicly about the Hawks' plans. Did the Lakers make a major move before the deadline? A move that makes LeBron James happy? The answer to the first question is no. Probably the same answer to the second question. Celtics make small moves. The Philadelphia 76ers traded Jaden Springer to the Boston Celtics for a second-round pick. And the Celtics traded Delano Banton to Portland in a second-round pick, ESPN reported. Sixers trade Beverly to Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks, in search of defensive help on the perimeter, acquired guard Patrick Beverley from the Philadelphia 76ers for Cam Payne and a 2027 second-round pick, a person with direct knowledge of the deal told USA Today Sports. Person requested anonymity because he's not authorized to speak publicly until the deal was announced by the teams. The Bucks were trying hard to bolster their defense and also sought Utah's Chris Dunn, who has helped spur the Jazz's turnaround. Phoenix makes trade with Nets, acquires Royce O'Neal. The Phoenix Suns are trading for Royce O'Neal as part of a three-team deal. The Arizona Republic and The Athletic reported. The 6'6" guard is averaging 7.4 points and shooting 36.6 from the three-point line in 49 games this season. The Suns will send 3 second-round picks and salary to the Nets. As part of the deal, David Roddy goes from Memphis to Phoenix for picks. Dinwiddie traded to Raptors. The Toronto Raptors traded guard Dennis Schroeder and forward Thad Young to the Brooklyn Nets for guard Spencer Dinwiddie. A person with knowledge of the trade told USA Today Sports and he requested anonymity because he's not authorized to speak publicly until the deal is announced. The Raptors are planning to waive Dinwiddie, who's expected to become a prime target in the buyout market. Mavs trade for P.J. Washington. The Charlotte Hornets traded forward P.J. Washington and 2 second-round draft picks to Dallas for Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a 2027 first-round draft pick. A person with knowledge requested anonymity, not authorized to speak till the deal is announced. Knicks land scoring help in Bojan Bogdanovic trade. The New York Knicks and Detroit Pistons have completed a deal that will send Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks to New York, the Knicks announced. Detroit, which has the worst record in the NBA, will receive Quentin Grimes, Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn, Ryan Arcidiacono, and second-round picks. The 33-18 Knicks continue to reshape their roster for the playoffs. They acquired OG Anunoby last month in a trade with Toronto, and Bogdanovic and Burks are scorers who should give the Knicks' seventh-ranked offense a boost. Hornets trade Gordon Hayward to Thunder. The Oklahoma City Thunder bolstered their roster for a playoff run, acquiring forward Gordon Hayward from the Charlotte Hornets for Trey Mann, Davis Bertans, Veselije Micic, and draft consideration. Person with direct knowledge told USA Today, requested anonymity, not authorized until trade's official. The Thunder are 35-16 and tied for first in the Western Conference. Hayward, who averages 14.5 points, 4.7 rebounds, and 4.6 points, should be a solid fit for a team that did not want to make drastic changes while still improving. Wizards Mavs swap front quarters. The Washington Wizards are trading center Daniel Gafford to the Dallas Mavericks for Rashawn Holmes and draft considerations. A person with knowledge of the deal told USA Today Sports. The person requested anonymity, not authorized until deal announced. Kelly Olynyk, Okai Agbaji headed to Raptors in multiplayer deal. The Jazz sent center Kelly Olynyk and guard Okai Agbaji to the Toronto Raptors for Kyra Lewis, Otto Porter, and a 2024 first-round pick, ESPN reported. Pistons acquired Danielle House. The 76ers dealt guard Danielle House to the Pistons. A person with knowledge of the deal told USA Today Sports. Anonymity, not authorized deal announced by teams. The Sixers create cap flexibility in the deal. And the Pacers trade Buddy Hield to the Sixers. The 76ers acquired guard Buddy Hield from the Pacers for Marcus Morris, Furkan Korkmaz, and multiple second-round picks. Person familiar, requested anonymity, not authorized, trade official. The Sixers need additional outside shooting and get help in that area with Hield, who is shooting 38.4% on threes and averaging 12 points this season. And now an editorial by Mike Freeman. NFL owner targets hate in Super Bowl ad. I want to combat Jewish hate, but also all hate. The way to do that is that we all fight it together, said Robert Kraft, New England Patriots owner. Robert Kraft looks at America, the nation he loves, and is scared about what he sees. I don't recognize parts of this nation, he said in an interview with USA Today Sports. I don't like where we're headed. I'm worried about our country right now. Kraft has always been more than the owner of the New England Patriots. He's a proud Jew who has dedicated large swaths of his life to fighting anti-Semitism and fostering racial togetherness, particularly between blacks and Jews. Kraft, like many others, has watched the steady increase of anti-Jew hate and believes the country is at a perilous moment in its history. "I saw men dressed up as Nazis in Charlottesville yelling, 'Jews will not replace us,'" Kraft said. "There was a Tree of Life massacre. None of this should be happening in the United States of America. We're the greatest country in the world, but it's starting to look like Germany in the 30s to me," he said. When Kraft was read back that quote and asked exactly what did he mean, he didn't skip a beat. "And I want to prevent us from getting to the 1940s. One way Kraft wants to help prevent the spread of Jewish hate, he says, was the purchase of a 30-second advertisement that'll play during the Super Bowl. It's the first ever ad that Kraft's Foundation to Combat Anti-Semitism has run in the big game. It's also a continuation of the foundation's Stand Up to Jewish Hate campaign. It launched last year with a blue square symbol of unity for non-Jews to show their support for the Jewish community. The main theme of the ad? All hate thrives on silence, and no one can be a bystander. The people who'll change the country for the better will do so by speaking out. The ad will feature Dr. Clarence B. Jones. In 1963, Jones helped Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. compose the historic I Have a Dream speech. It's not a coincidence that Kraft is partnering with Jones, as Kraft has long pushed unity between blacks and Jews. "I'm worried about what's going on with younger Americans, especially with black and Jewish Americans," he said. "I feel like we need to repair that relationship." One reason for that strain may be the war in Gaza. Mark Morial, the president of the National Urban League, told the New York Times that a long-standing alliance between blacks and Jews that can be traced back to the civil rights movement is being tested now because of the war. Kraft wants to use the ad to also make sure Americans understand just how virulent anti-Semitism is right now. He wants to do this particularly with younger people. His warnings are stark and also necessary. "Every credible metric that gauges hate shows anti-Semitism rising steeply. It has risen to such frightening levels that FBI Director Christopher Wray said anti-Semitism was reaching, in some way, sort of historic levels." Kraft warns that unless there's unified pushback, the hatred won't stop with the Jews. He again gave a historical comparison. "In Germany, it all started with the Jews," Kraft said. "Then the Nazis went after everyone. What I would say to some Americans is, you're next. Jews, blacks, Asians, LGBTQ+ community, it won't stop with the Jews. You're next unless we all stand together." When talking to Kraft, who I have known for decades and have interviewed dozens of times, there's a sense of urgency, almost fear in his voice that I've never heard before. Kraft believes that the country, when it comes to anti-Jewish hate, is at perhaps its worst point in decades. And he's right. Kraft also believes that beating back all that hate will require a unified effort from all Americans. He's right about that, too. "I want to combat Jewish hate, but also all hate," he said. "The way to do that is that we all fight it together." "Why am I doing the Super Bowl ad?" he said. "The majority of people in America, who are good people, I think they believe there's nothing they can do. But there is. What we need is non-Jewish people to stand up to this hate." Kraft added, "I believe most humans are good people. I really believe that empathy is part of us. You learn hate over time. And you can also learn to fight it. And Kraft is doing just that." And that concludes USA Today Sports, read by Jim Gronfeld. Stay healthy.